Blog Talk Radio.
All right, all right, all right. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Hey, man, it's about 17, 18 degrees up here. Hey, man, and it's real cold, so we're going to try to heat up something here. Amen, by the word of God. Amen. We're so glad to have our brother Timothy Jackson with us this evening. Amen. He's going to be coming in on me. He's going to be walking and talking about this great, great, great event that's getting ready to happen. Amen. And that is the big episode, the rapture of the church. Amen. We're going to hit on that a little bit, make sure you know and understand what's getting ready to happen. It's just now, it's a prelude, amen, of the tribulation period, what we see now, because all this is coming up on the scene is a buildup to get to the final point. It's been 2,000 years since Jesus Christ has been gone, and he said he's coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. In order to get a church without a spot or wrinkle, he died and suffered on Calvary's cross for our sins, that he could sanctify our souls and make us holy as he is holy. Amen.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ is the only way that a man can be made holy. Power is in the blood. And what's in the blood? Amen. The very Spirit of God, the very God himself, is in the blood. And he became flesh and died on Calvary's cross and shed his blood. That's God's blood. And by God's blood, it's the only blood, amen, that God could get to redeem man from sin, because sin will put you in hell. And God don't love sin. He never embraced sin. He don't compromise with sin. He's not going to pet sin, because every man that's born of a woman is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And there's only one man that was born sinless. No sin nowhere. No. God cannot sin. God cannot lie. And God cannot what? He cannot tolerate idolatry. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot tolerate blasphemy. And what he did, he died. He saved from that. Amen. I'm going to go and have prayer. Amen. I was outside a long time today. I was fixing my brakes on my blazer, and it took me about 5 hours to do it because it was cold and I was coming back and in and out. So I'm a little tired, but I'm on fire to God. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to have prayer. I'm going to have prayer. Then I want Brother Jackson to come on down there and start on that one-yard line and take us to the Word of God. Let us know. Tell us what the Word of God said, not what he said, but what the Word of God says. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come before you one more time, realizing it's nothing but your love and mercy that you give us an opportunity to preach the Word, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We realize, Lord, the time is winding up for this generation. We must preach the Word. We got to preach it. If it costs us our lives, we're going to preach the Word. If we lose our friendship with the world, amen, that's all right. Because to be a friendship of a friend to the world, you're an enemy of God. And I don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't want to be God's enemy. No, I want to be God's best friend that he ever had. I want him to be my best friend. So what we're going to do, as we go in prayer, we say in this prayer right now, we pray it in Jesus' name, let your Holy Spirit come in this place. And those that's listening right now, Lord, let them be attentive, because we are definitely living in the last days. And we pray this in the name of the mighty name of all names, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let the church say amen. Brother Tim, walk with me a little bit. Tell me something from the Word of God. Amen.
Amen, doctor. Amen. God bless you. Amen. It's good to be here. Amen. Bro, are you asking me to kick it off? So, amen. I guess I'll go ahead and kick it off. Amen. Amen. And what I was thinking about today was The end time signs, you know, the disciples asked Christ, what should be the signs? Amen. Well, I know we've mentioned this before.
Yes.
On the show. Amen. And Christ said, I'm going to come back as a thief in the night. Amen. But we all know the old saying that warning comes before destruction. Amen. So
yes,
God is just. God is righteous. Amen. And according to God, he is fair in his way. Amen. He is righteous. He is just. He's a just God. So he gives us opportunity. Amen. As a brother said, he gives us the opportunity. So, amen. You can't say you didn't know or you didn't have a fair warning. Amen. So God is letting you know that something is not right. And that's what we're doing, amen. God has sent believers that teach the word, amen, that is the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, to tell us, to tell you, to warn you what's about to happen, what's about to take place.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to you to heed warning, and you can laugh it off, you can joke about it, amen. Amen. Or you can, you know, you can listen to us, amen, and heed warning. So, So looking at 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 of what Paul wrote. Paul said, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Amen.
Come on.
For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Amen. Paul said that we know that the day of the Lord come as a thief in the night. Amen. But we are also aware, amen, of the times and seasons. But he says, no need for me to write to you because you are paying attention. It's not going to catch you off guard. Amen. But we are to warn the world. We are to let the world know. So what are end time signs? We can see it now. There's economic collapse.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
There are a lot of businesses that are going out of business. Businesses that have been around for a very long time. Amen, brothers.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And it's a shock. You know, one of the companies that we know of shut down. We was in shock. We're like, they going out of business. And so you think about this. This is real serious. This is not something that's lightly. Then we talk about this war that they've been talking about with Russia and how the world, how the United States, and now Ukraine is saying to the world, hey, sanction Russia because they want Russia to back down. They want Russia to stop. But Russia is more likely not going to stop. They can't stop.
That's right.
We know why. Amen. We know why.
Amen.
But they want them to affect our economy. They want them to affect, and they're attacking the rich people. There was a guy there on the news. I was watching the news feed from Russia. He was saying that it's a joke that he's being sanctioned. I guess he's like a multimillionaire. He has a lot of money. But he says it's a joke that he's being sanctioned by the West, which is pretty much United States, probably Europe nations. But they're trying to cripple Russia's economy so Russia won't be able to fund the war. So that's why they're sanctioning Russia. They're trying to cripple them because the economy is already hurting. Now, one of the biggest fears is that if China's quietly watching, they're silent in the background. We already know that Russia and China's already shook hands. If China makes it more known that they're going to jump in the war, that could be very bad for everyone on this planet. Amen? Because we know that Russia's going to go forward. But with the backing of China, you can forget it. Russia is definitely going to move forward because China has the power and the economy to help Russia, okay? I believe that Germany, we talked about Germany. We believe that Germany is going to jump in because Germany is kind of in the middle. If you really listen to Germany and pay attention to them, they're actually straddling the fence. But I feel like they're going to fall on the side of Russia. And according to prophecy, they're going to side with Russia in the end. They're just straddling the fence right now. I think they're playing a game, a chess game with the rest of the world that they're trying to act like they're with the rest of the world. But I believe that Germany is going to also, according to scripture, as well, they're going to side with Russia. Amen. I also come to find out that there's some South American countries. I was shocked to hear this. Some South American countries, Venezuela is one of them, is on Russia's side. Now, Venezuela is South America. They're right up under our nose, and they're siding with Russia. And we know that the Arab nations are basically going to side with Russia, majority of them. Libya, Ethiopia. So Russia has some silent allies. They ain't saying nothing now. But as the scene unfolds, you're going to see a lot of things that's going to happen here soon. Russia's not by themselves. Everybody's saying it's Russia against the world. But Russia has some very powerful allies that are just waiting, in the dark. Then it's not good. Amen.
You're not good.
So we know that economic collapse, the black horse, which is what? The third rider, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, sir.
Revelation.
Yes, sir.
The sixth chapter, verses 5 and 6. The black horse, which represents what? Famine.
Famine.
Okay? Famine. Amen. So what are some of the things that famine comes from? Number one, war.
War.
Okay? That's one. That's the number one reason for famine is war. So these wars are going to put an even more economic strain because a lot of countries now have to fund the war. That's going to drain the economies, and the world's in debt. I was watching a video last night. Hey, man, brother. The world's in debt. All your major countries are in high debt. You have a very small number of countries, large first world countries that are not in debt. Most of your so-called wealthy families and wealthy people, they're in debt. They may live in wealth, but they're still in debt, just like your everyday person. If you own a house and a car, you're in debt. You don't own that car outright. You don't own your house outright. You are in debt to someone. Let's say if you are just real quick example. If you have a $50,000 car and a $350,000 mortgage, you're $400,000 in debt. You're not free and clear. And that's how the wealth is living. You may look like you got it going on. You may have a nice car and a nice house and a good job. Still in debt. Okay? The point that I'm making is that if you're already in debt, you owe somebody. And we know who runs the world, who's behind all of this. The so-called elite, the so-called Illuminati, amen, they're behind all this wickedness. Because why? They are moving the pieces on the board for Satan. They're getting ready for the Antichrist to come on the scene. They're getting ready for Lucifer to come on the scene and the demon to take the stage. This is about to happen. Amen. And we said it before, this is the perfect time for it to take place because why? Satan has lulled the world to sleep with entertainment.
Come on, preacher.
Amen. He's put the world asleep like a baby because why?
Like
he has pacified. Amen, doctor.
Yes,
he has pacified the world. He's given the world what it wants. Money, more wealth, even if you got a little money in your pocket, if you have a little more money than what your parents had, most people are happy. Hey, man, they got a nice house. They live an American dream.
Rockabye baby.
Rockabye baby. And so we know that this stuff is about to take place. famine also come from epidemics.
Yes, sir.
We have a pandemic. Terrorism, large economies or population. Large population. The world population is over 7 billion people.
Ooh.
Amen. That's
yes,
right.
Sir.
And so
yes, sir.
You think about it, one third of the world population is living good, is fed good. One third is undernourished. One third is in famine. They're starving. So you think about this situation, and all it's going to do is that one third that's starving, already starving, is going to get worse when this pandemic, when this all kicks off. We are
Come
nearing
on,
the return of Christ. The trump is about to sound. Amen.
Yes, sir.
And once that happens,
yes, sir,
amen, what's going to happen is that it's going to get bad. Almost 30 million people, World War One, 30 million people, almost 30 million people starved to death. That is mind-blowing. Amen. I watched a little movie this past week with my wife and kids, and the movie was about, it's called The Kingsman. It's the new movie that The Kingsman have out. That's what it was about. It was about the World War One and how it all got started. And you think about all the millions of young men that died in World War One. And I remember in the movie, the president of the United States, I think it was the United States or some country, maybe it was Europe, I can't remember, but he said that we cannot allow this to happen because so many young men lost their lives. And not even probably 20 or 30 years later, what happened?
Yes, sir.
World War II, where we
Come
know
on.
That, amen, over 50 million people lost their lives in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are.
Here we are.
Not even 100 years later, we're looking at World War III.
World War
III. And
III.
I'm going to tell you right now, amen, this ain't little small countries going at it. These are major countries, first world countries, were armed with heavily nuclear power. And they already see it. That's why they're evacuating Ukraine. They've already said it's not going to be good if Russia pushes into Ukraine. Amen.
Come on
so
now. Yes, sir.
You think about these things. We talk about economic collapse. We also talk about moral degeneration.
Yes,
we know
sir.
That's
moral.
Happening all over the world. Amen,
yeah.
Doctor. The world is plunged into such a bad state. It's sad to hear stories of little kids being killed. My wife was telling me about this little girl down in Houston. The man thought somebody was out there and just started shooting. He killed a young girl, an elementary student. And that's sad. The world is just is waxing cold and cold. It's getting worse and worse. People are killing like crazy. They're taking babies' lives and women's lives like nothing. So we got to stay prayed up. We got to stay on the battlefield. We got to stay on the forefront of the Lord. We got to continue to pray for the world because of the things that is happening. Prostitution is high. Amen. They said Amen. They said prostitution is going through the roof. Amen. And I thought that was very sad. I said, wow, so many young women out here on the streets. We got to be praying. We have to continue to pray for the world. We don't want to see this. That's not good at all. Amen. But we know where we are. Amen. We know where we are. Amen. The super church. Amen. The super church. They've been teaming up with all the different religions. Amen. The super church is about to come on the scene as well. The Pope has met with all kind of church leaders and church organizations and denominations from around the world. They're really heavily promoting gay pastors and gay church organizations. And, well, let's put it like this, so-called church organizations.
So-called.
They are promoting it heavily. Amen. Watch the news. Get on this world news and check some of this stuff out. I used to be a fan of the world news. My brother and my dad used to be a fan of. He used to watch it all the time and listen to it all the time. My older brothers do, and so I wasn't one for the world news, but now seeing it, you know, being in ministry and just seeing the things that's going on, ain't got me interested. I just started paying attention a little bit more. Amen. Amen.
Yes, sir.
The world governments. Amen. The world governments. You have new age movement. Knowledge and travel. Increase. That's what Daniel and Christ talked about. Knowledge and travel. Your knowledge. Well, I'm sorry. Daniel spoke of it. I'm sorry. Knowledge and travel. How knowledge has been increased. The technical world has increased. Technology. And also spread of the word. The access to the word, the access to the knowledge that we're providing to you now is spreading over the airways, is spreading over the internet. People are more interested in hearing about Christ, this return of God. People want answers. Amen. So knowledge is proper. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We have geographic disturbances. Amen. This amazed me. I believe it was Haiti. Haiti is a small country. Had an earthquake, so I think about within 10 years ago, they had an earthquake. Over 100,000 people dead.
Lord,
in
Amber.
One day.
Ooh.
Now, that's, you talk about devastating. That's a lot of people in one day. A
lot of people.
And then some years later, it happened again. And they had in the tens of thousands, they lost so many people. But over 100,000 people they never found.
Lord, embers.
Women and children.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Geographic disturbances, earthquakes. But they're finding volcanoes popping up all over the world. They never seen nothing like this before. Volcanoes in the oceans popping up. Volcanoes on land. They're just popping up everywhere.
Yes.
My gosh. Amen.
Lord.
Wars and rumors of wars. Amen. That's what we were talking about just now. Wars and rumors of wars. And all of this leads you, amen, to what? Death. And if you're not saved, and hell.
Come on.
Death and hell. That's what all
death
this
and hell.
Is bringing to the earth. Satan is mad.
Mad.
He knows his time is about up. He has a very short time. Amen.
Very short.
Revelation says, "There's woe unto man, for Satan has come down to you." Amen.
Come on.
Amen. For he knows that he has what? Revelation 12 chapter. He only has a short time. This is, amen, this ain't good, because it's good for us that believe. It's good for us.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
because
right.
We're getting ready to reign with Christ. It's good for
us.
Hallelujah. But for those that are, amen, hallelujah, doctor, amen, hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. I get joy when I think about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I get to think about how. Amen. We're going to get a brand new body. Amen. I was just sharing with my mentor the other day. I went to go see her. Amen. She's kind of getting up there. God bless her soul. Amen. And, just thinking about it. I was talking to her about how we're going to receive a new body. Amen.
New body.
And the pain that we receive, she's had knee replacement. And I was telling her, you ain't going to have to worry about that, sister. When the trumpet sound, yeah, amen, God going to make all things new.
Amen.
He going to make all things new. Amen. So you're going to get a brand new body. You're going to look different. You're going to look healthy. You're going to look immaculate. You're going to receive the greatest gift in existence, which is immortality. You will never grow old.
Forever.
Amen, doctor. Forever, doctor. Amen. That's what salvation is. It's for all eternity, forever. Amen. As you said, that's why we always say, once saved, always saved, amen, always right? Because that's saved. What salvation is. See, people don't understand what salvation is when they say, oh, you can lose your salvation. Well, you have a lack of understanding of what salvation is, brother or sisters.
That's right.
Salvation
that's right.
Is a gift. If it's a gift, how can I work for a gift? You can't work for a gift, especially what comes from God. What you going to do to earn? How you going to earn God's gift? You can't do it.
Come on.
That's why it had to be a gift, because God said, no, I don't want you to work for it, because if you work for it, you're falling short. Amen. Because you're not worthy of the gift. So God said, you know what? I'm going to send my only begotten son. Amen.
That's it.
I'm gonna put on this fleshly body, and Christ thought it not less or more. He didn't think nothing of it. He said, you know, I'm gonna go down, and I'm a redeemed man.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm gonna do. I'm a redeemed man. Back to me.
Give man a second chance.
And you are getting that second chance. As you are breathing, as you live and breathe, you're getting a second chance. And I pray to the Most High God that you don't overlook this opportunity. It is the greatest opportunity in existence. You're going to get doctor. You're going to get a
come on, preacher.
Amen. You're going to get a brand new body. And so the only way that you're going to escape death, the second death,
come on,
the great tribulation, is through salvation. God said, I got you covered. Amen, brother.
Yes,
before
sir.
I turn it over to you, I want to share this
go
with
ahead,
you all.
Go ahead, work with it. Work with it.
Amen. God told me this. He showed me this the other day. He said, man, don't you know that I made salvation so easy? You know what I was thinking about, doctor?
Hey, go
man,
ahead.
I had to go to a hearing the other day. A court hearing. And so they do things a little different now because of the pandemic. So I actually have to go to the attorney's office. And while I was in there, I was looking at the attorney's, you know, accomplishments on the wall. She had plaques for the university. She had her lawyer degree and everything. I was just looking at all her accomplishments. And she even had a little plaque up on the wall that said Lawyer's Prayer. I didn't get to read it.
Yeah.
It was kind of at a distance, but I saw Lawyer's Prayer. And what I was thinking about, brother, I saw this thing on the wall. It's a big plaque. It says something about the court of Texas, something like that. Something about the court of Texas. And basically what it was saying is that, you know, the law of Texas and stuff like that. And I was just thinking about it. I said, man, you know what? All this stuff that Satan have people going through. And it's okay. I understand we live in this world because we all do what we got to do to make accomplishments.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't knock nobody's education, nobody's accomplishments.
No.
They are great. If you got a doctorate degree, a master's degree, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, whatever accomplishment, a salesman, an entrepreneur, whatever accomplishments you have, that's great because the Bible says over in Deuteronomy, all these great things come from God. God gives us the knowledge to have and to do these things.
Yeah.
So it's a great thing to have. Amen.
Yeah.
But what I was thinking about while I was in her office, I said, you know what, brother? Do you know that we're going to be a witness at the great white throne judgment? We're going to be like the jurors.
That's right.
Amen. We're going to be like
the jurors
because while he's judging them, amen, I can't remember where it's at. One says in the book of Isaiah, but it said that no one will be able to raise a finger. No one will be able to raise any accusations to God. Believers,
Lord,
those of us that are chosen.
Lord.
In other words, anybody that has to go through the great white throne judgment that's not saved will not be able to pull up your name. Because you want to know why? Your record is hidden. Amen. See, y'all, y'all didn't catch that. See, there are some folks' record that's hidden. You can't see their record. You can't see their past. Because it's hidden. See, when because we believe in Christ and because we've been washed in the blood, anything that I have done God said that's hidden. That's hidden information.
That's
amen.
Right.
You don't have access
that's
to
right.
that. Amen. Christ died for his sins. So anything
right.
that I've done in my past life when we at the judgment, God said Christ died for that. He was a propitiation for my sins, not for just mine, but for the entire world. If you choose salvation, it's yours.
Come on.
Your record will be expunged. Whatever you have done, it won't even matter. If you dust somebody out or lied on somebody or you cheated or whatever you have done, if you are saved, God said, you know what? All that is hidden. That's, you don't have access to that.
Because
Tim is not here. See, he's going to say to the person that he's judging, I'm talking about you. What did you do? Not what this person did, but what did you do? Because you're not going to be able to bring up somebody else if you don't get saved and if your sins are not washed with the blood of the Lamb. You won't be able to bring up that individual at the judgment.
That's
at the
right.
great white throne judgment.
That's right.
Amen. You're not going to be able to bring
Amen.
It up. God's going to say, yeah, well, he's been judged. We know what he did. But see, he also believed in Christ. So he's not here. He's over there. Amen. See, he's one of the jurors, amen. And his lifestyle, his life is a witness against your life because all the things that he's done, he believed, amen. But the things that you've done, you rejected Christ. And because you rejected Christ, amen, you're going to have to pay for your sins because you
yes,
would bow down and humble
yes,
yourself
sir.
and receive salvation, receive
Come
the blood
on.
Of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Doctor. Amen. I mean to go
all
the way, but I had to share that. Amen. When I was at the
That's
court,
right.
I mean, when I was at the hearing in the lawyers, I was like, "Wow, this is awesome, man!" Because I just thought about. It. I said, "Man, when we be in heaven, that courtroom is gonna be something. When those souls
Woo.
Have to stand before the great judge, his heavenly
yeah.
Father, the Holy Spirit, all the holy angels, and guess who else?" The 24 elders, the Old Testament saints,
Come
and
on,
the New Testament saints, we will be
up.
There. Lord, have
yeah.
mercy to be a witness
have
against
mercy.
The world. Amen.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Amen.
Man, you got the devil upset, man. You got the devil upset. That's what we want
to
let you know.
Glory to the Most High.
Amen. It's not by works. It's not by your looks. It's not by how your status quo. It's the grace of
Amen.
God. Salvation is free. Salvation is forever. You can't cut eternity. You can't destroy eternity. You can't destroy. You can't drown
right.
eternity. Amen. If you say you're going to drown eternity, you got to drown Christ. You got to drown his love. And love, you can't drown it. Hey, love
Amen.
Was here before evil was here. Amen. And love is eternal. Ooh,
right.
love of God. God, when God saves you, he will love you through eternity. And the reason why he loved you so much, because you repented of your sins and you asked the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to wash you in his blood and cleanse you pure. You know, the soul
Amen.
Of man, by the grace of God, is pure. It's perfectly saved. It ain't half saved. It ain't three-quarters of saved. It ain't saved
Come
for the
on,
day and
doctor.
Lost tomorrow. Come on now. You got to do better than that, Lucifer. Lucifer ain't got nothing for you. Amen. The Lucifer that I'm talking about is the one that's the ruler of death. He's a ruler of destruction. And he's
that's
a
right.
ruler of deception. His greatest weapon that he has. And he has deceived the world. He's got
That's
this
right.
world in street talk, and he's rocking them. I like that what that brother said. He's rocking them. Amen. He's mirazing them. He's hypnotizing them.
Amen.
The world believes it. Amen. That materialistic and good looks and fine clothes
right.
and a whole lot of money and a whole lot of this and doing things and recreation and entertainment. Oh,
that's
man,
right.
they think that's living. But let me tell you, that's like that little old song, Rockabye Baby in the Treetop.
Amen.
Amen.
That's
when the
right.
Amen. And, you know, evil feels good. Evil feels good. Evil is pleasurable. Evil is sweet. But after it's all over, it's damnation. To the rotten core. Satan know he is doomed forever.
Amen.
And his main job is to what? Keep your soul in his clutches. Satan said, whatever you do, whatever you do, please, please don't go to the cross. No, don't go to the cross.
That's right.
Go there on the street corner and have a party. Go anywhere,
that's
but don't go to the cross. If you go to the cross, I'm going to lose you. And if I lose you, I'm going to lose you forever because I know God is, oh, my God. Let me tell you, Satan knew who God is. Satan seen him. Satan was right there. Lucifer
right.
Around the throne. He knows all about the corridors of heaven. Amen. He walked up and down the gold and silver and brass and gems and diamonds. He knows about it. He knows that God came from nowhere. He knows that God existed before he did, and he knows that God created him and spoke him into existence. And he knows he disobeyed God, and now he's taking it out on God for casting him out of heaven, so he's going to come down here and deceive Adam and Eve to cause them to turn against God. And guess what? I ain't giving Satan no credit. The only reason man is turning against God is because man is letting him. Man is letting him. Man is subjected to him. Man won't listen to God's word. Man won't listen to the prophets. Man won't listen to a real preacher. Man won't separate himself from sin through the blood of Jesus Christ. So on doing what he want to do. And let me tell you, you can do whatever you want to do, but I'm telling you one thing. If you haven't been born, B-O-R-N, again, A-G-A-I-N, guess what? You will never enter the kingdom of God. Why?
Amen.
Why? God will not tolerate sin in his kingdom. And the only reason God's tolerating sin now, because God is not in his kingdom. Amen. God is taking men out of sin to bring them into his kingdom. And the only way you can be brought in is through the cross. Come on, preacher. Amen. Come on, deacon. Come on, sister elder. Come on, people. Jesus Christ is the king. Your looks ain't nothing. Because you're young, you ain't going to be young all your life. Them wrinkles going to come.
Come on.
Your eyes going to go dim. Your ears is going to have trouble. Every part of your human body, amen, is going to depreciate. Ooh, the older you get, the more your body depreciate. But let me tell you, worried about the body. I'm not worried about the body. As long as I live a holy and sanctified life, amen, that God can use me in a mighty way that I can, what, win souls to Christ. That's my main goal in life, is to win souls. Right. That's the main topic this evening is for brother Timothy and brother Bazaar is to win soul and convince you, convince your mama, your daddy, your sister, your uncle, your aunt, your in-laws, your outlaws. Now let me tell you something, man. We're trying to convince you that Jesus Christ is the key to salvation. His burial, his death, his resurrection, and he's coming back again to get a church. And if you're not ready, I'm talking about ready, bro. I'm talking about being born again. Because let me tell you, if you miss the rapture, and there is a rapture, I don't see where these clowns get these ideas that the rapture's a post, the rapture's a mid, and then some people don't believe in the rapture. Well, whether you believe it or not, Jesus Christ guarantee you with all the fibers of my body, my nerves, that Jesus Christ is coming back again in this generation. Why? Because everything in the Bible that was prophesied from Genesis to Revelation is almost about to be fulfilled.
Amen.
We're at the end. We're in the what? End of the age. Not end of the world, end of the age, end of what? End of sin, end of wars, end of killing and murdering, end of whoremongering, end of fornication. That's going to be an end to it. And people don't want Christ to come because they got too much stuff to do. Oh, man, I got to get married. I got to go to college. Oh, man, I got to have my women. I got to get me a job. Man got everything else to do, and he's too busy for God. I'm too busy for God. I ain't got time for this crackpot salvation. Somebody's blood can save sin. No, it ain't just somebody. It's one body. And that body is the body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the only one that's able to save you from sin and call you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Where we at? We at the end time. We at the beginning, just about the gateway to the 70th week. The 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. He said before the 70th week come, there's going to be a great buildup. There's going to be a great buildup. What buildup? There's going to be a great return of the Jewish people back in the land of Israel. Where we at? Israel is coming back. They're coming back from Ukraine. They're coming back from Russia. They're coming back from South America. They're coming back to the land of Israel because they know that's the only place that they have safety. And guess what? They're coming back in unbelief. But God said, I will draw my people from the graves. I'm going to draw my people from the graves of the Gentiles and place them in the land of Israel. Because guess what? The Messiah, good God Almighty, the one that will roar from Zion. But before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, let me break it down for you. Before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, the false Messiah must come first. The false Messiah must come first. The Antichrist has to come first. He has to present himself to Israel. He has to make a seven-year covenant with Israel. He's got to promise Israel that he will protect the country of Israel for 7 years. That's the 70th week spoken by Daniel the prophet. God said, I'm going to deal with Israel from 440 BC all the way over till the end of time, but Israel was cut off at 400. Now listen, 483 years, Israel was cut off from what? From the olive tree. Guess what? Why? Because Israel disbelieved that the Messiah had came. And 483 years, they were cut off. And that was the day that Jesus Christ rode through Jerusalem on the coat of an ass. 483 years was fulfilled. It's done. It's over. Until God grafted. What did he do? He grafted the Gentiles in. And when he grafted the Gentiles in, he cut the Jews off. How long did he cut the Jews off? He cut the Jews off for almost 2,000 years. And now, he said, now when I get ready to come back, I'm going to restore what? I'm going to restore Israel back into the land because I'm going to meet them at the top of the Mount of Olives when I come back to the earth. But before they come, the Antichrist will sign a peace treaty for 7 years. 7 years, he's going to promise the Jews that he will protect them. Guess what's going to happen? He's going to make that promise. But he can't make that promise. Listen to me. He cannot make that promise until the glorious church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is raptured up. He cannot come on the scene until the church is gone. He cannot come on the scene until the body that I'm living in right now will be translated into an immortality, and guess what? The trumps will blow, and what? The dead in Christ will rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. And when that happens, guess what? The Antichrist will come. Well, where is he now? He's in Western Europe. He's going to be the head of NATO pretty soon. NATO don't have a leader to lead the 10 European common nations into fighting against the kings of the East. But when the rapture occurs, the Antichrist will come out of one of the nations in the 10 nations, which was the 11th nation, and that nation is Spain. S-P-A-I-N. Spain is the 11th horn, spoken by who? Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet, and those boys didn't play with God. Those boys saw the future beyond the future. They wrote it down so plain that a wayfaring men.
Amen.
And the Bible said in the last day, the wicked will not understand what's going on today. And the wicked don't know what's going on today. They think everything is all right. They think this here war that's coming up now, it's a normal thing, World War III. Well, we don't have three. We don't have two world wars. Let's make it three. They don't understand that this war here will congregate in the tribulation period. When the rapture of the church, when the rapture of the church is taken out of the way, then Gog and Magog is going to come down on Israel. They can't come down on Israel now because the church is here, huh? And the Holy Spirit has not stepped back. But when the church leaves, guess what? The Antichrist will rise up and say to the Jewish people, I am Jesus Christ. I am Jesus. And guess what? The Jews don't even question about the womb.
That's Jews, right.
Will not even question the Antichrist about the wounds in his hand and the wounds in his feet and the wound on his side and the weapon on his back. Even question that because they don't believe that he died and rose again, and this Antichrist don't have no identification that he's the Savior of the world, and the Gentiles are going to fall in and believe actually that this man is Jesus Christ. You know why they believe in that they believe in Jesus Christ? Because number one, he don't have no nail prints in his hand. In other words, he never died. Huh? He never died. And since he never died, there's no nail prints in the Antichrist's hands. Because Jesus Amen. Christ was what? Perished in his hand. They nailed
Amen.
Him. Good God Almighty.
That's
they
right.
They nailed his hands. They pierced him in his side. They spit on him. They
sure
did. Him. They stripped it down like he was on a nude page. They stripped him almost naked on the cross. Hallelujah, but praise God, Jesus Christ didn't say a mumbling word because he knew this was the only utopia. This was the only way man, good God Almighty, from glories of heaven, that man could be redeemed. And he died and shed his blood. And today, when Christ comes back from the portals of glory, and when the church is raptured up, when the church is raptured up, guess what? When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, guess what? We're going to recognize right away. We're going to recognize the nail prints in his hand. Good God Almighty. We're going to see the nail prints in his feet. Good God Almighty. We're going to see the crown of thorns that pierce his scalp.
Come on, doctor.
Of the throne of God. And we're going to say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed is the Lamb, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then when he comes back on the top of Mount of Olives, the only time the Jewish nation's eyes are going to open, good God Almighty, he's going to stand on the top of the Mount of Olives. And when he comes back with the church at the end of the tribulation period, he's going to hold up his hand. And when he holds up his hand, the Jewish nation is going to ask him, where did you get your wounds? And you notice when the Antichrist comes, the Jews don't even ask nothing. Woo! But when Jesus Christ comes and throw his hands up on the top of the Mount of Olives and his feet,
Amen.
They're going to look at his nail prints and look at his hand and say, where did you get your wounds from? And he's going to say, from the household of my friends. And guess what? The scale of unbelief is going to fall from the Jewish eyes, and they're going to cry out, Hosanna! Hosanna, blessed be the name of the Lord, and the remnant of Israel shall be saved. So this
Amen.
Antichrist that I'm talking about, this Antichrist is going to be a dizzle-dazzle. He's going to be a, a charlatan. He's going to be a pimp daddy. Woo, he's going to pimp people to die and go to hell. Yeah, he is.
That's
he's
right.
going to sell soul. He's the greatest sales soul that he is. He's going to sell your soul to be damned into hell. And folks today are selling their souls. Selling it for what? For a piece of potter's meat. because the Bible says, what profit a man to gain the whole world and lose soul? What will I gain? Listen, what have I gained if I got four houses and I got bank full of money? I got women on every side. I got a woman in every country. I got green grass and I got a fish pond. I got cattle. I got mules. I got everything that a man could desire. And if I profit that, if I get that, and live with it for maybe about 70, 80 years and die, what do I profit? What do I get? The Bible says, what profit if I get the whole world and lose your soul? And don't you know folks are selling their souls today, dying, going to hell, busting hell wide open. And it's a sad story when people got it. They want to go to hell through the church. They're going through the church. They're going through the front door, down to the side basement, store out the side door, right on the hill, because they never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They just had religion. They didn't have salvation, because salvation is not a religion. Salvation is a relationship.
Amen. With Jesus. That's right.
It's a relationship. It's an intimate, spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you accept Jesus Christ, you automatically know who God is, because God is a God and Savior of the world, and he saved the world through Jesus Christ. And that was his burial, death, and resurrection. Woo! I want to close with this, and I'm handing it over to the brother. Amen. In the 18th chapter, the brother talked about that horse, that red horse. He talked about that black horse that would come. Well, right now, the horse is in all four horses are in the stable. And they've been riding for 6,000 years because there's been war on earth.
That's right.
There's been Antichrist come and Antichrist go. There have been wars upon earth. There has been famines upon earth. There has been pestilence and disease upon earth. But what's going to happen? These four horses are going to be set loose in the sixth chapter of Revelation. And now they're getting ready to be set loose. And when they set loose, the very first horse to come is a white horse. That's the Antichrist. The second horse is the war that's going to get ready to be started up. Amen. And that's Gog and Magog. You got the black horse. That's famine, which is on the verge right now, because food prices are going up so high.
Gas prices
are going up so high. People are not getting stuff in the grocery store. Meat prices are high. They have to fasten down steaks in the store and put locks on them to keep people from stealing food. Well, it's going to get worse during the tribulation period, it's going to be so bad. People are going to be breaking into people's houses. They're going to be a race, not no race riot, but a food riot. And the color of your skin ain't going to make no difference who you are. If you got some food your house, amen, and you going and somebody know it, they're going to come in and bust in, because people are robbing banks like mad anymore. They're robbing anybody, amen, that has something.
Come on, doctor.
And then you got the pale, sick-looking heart. That's diseases and bacteria. Oh, that's corona. That's syphilis. That's gonorrhea. You name it. And this horse is carrying it, because it says death and hell followed it. When you follow Antichrist, you're going to follow war, you're going to follow famine, and you're going to follow diseases and damnation to hell, because people love sin. They're in love with sin. And what God said not to do. And they'll tell God in a minute, I don't care what you say in your holy word. I ain't believing that crap. That stuff, man, is old ladies and blind old men and crippled people. I ain't going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't need him. In fact, yes, you do. You need him more than a baby needs his mother. You need him more than a water man on the desert. No water. You need him more than you need yourself. Woo! Because there's a day coming when you're going to call on him and he ain't going to answer. In the book of Revelation, 22 chapters. In the middle of those two chapters, the 22 chapters, is the 12th chapter. The 12th chapter starts off the last 3.5 years, which is called Jacob's trouble. There's going to be so
yes,
much
sir.
Trouble on this planet. So much horrific problems and war and baby killing and pornography and venereal diseases and HIV and AIDS are going to be spreading like wildfire. People are going to be dying without any vaccine or with the vaccine because there's no vaccine that can cure sin. But the only sin that can be
Amen.
Cured, only thing that can be cured is the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse
Amen.
Your soul and make it white as snow. And what you got to do, you got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. And the Bible
says,
good Lord from heaven. The 18th chapter of Revelation gives you an idea what's going to happen to all the economy. What's going to happen
That's
to
right.
all the economy of the world? What's going to happen to it? All that you see today, all the riches and all the gold and silver. In the 18th chapter of Revelation, John writes this on the economical system. Listen to a few verses, and I'm going to turn it over to the brother. It says, John said, Babylon is fallen. He says, after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightning with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and hold of foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean, hateful bird. What you talking about?
Oh,
habitation of devils. Well, the earth is going to become a habitation of demons.
That's right, amen.
It's going to be invaded with UFOs and Nephilim.
Come on,
and
doctor.
Demons and devils and fallen angels that right now are the prince power of the air. Well, they're going to inhabit the earth. They're all going to come down here and walk among men. They're going to be able to change bodies. They're going to be able to come out of the body and go in the body. They're going to be able to dematerialize and dematerialize. They're going to be able to fly. They're going to be able to steam in. They want to die and can't die. This is during the latter part of the tribulation. And it says, of every soul of foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And my God, listen to this. Man, the Bible's awesome. It says, and
may
have drunk of the wine, the wrath of her fornication, both spiritually fornication and both physical fornication. And the king, the big shot, the big baddies. The pimp daddies, amen. The elite on top of the elite. They're going to say, I've committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are wax rich. You talking about rich. Oh, well, the whole world is rich with all kind of material stuff. Man, people got stuff on TV now, all kinds of new technology, all kinds of new cars, all kinds of
Come
ways
on,
of building houses. All kind of ways of doing all making business and making money. He said committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out. Now this is God talking to his people. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sin, that ye receive not of her plague. In order during this time of the tribulation period, it's going to be so bad that they're going to be saints of God on the earth that got saved during the tribulation period. And the Lord is telling them, come out from among Babylon. Go out into the wilderness, because if you stay in Babylon, I don't want you to suffer the plague that's coming upon a wicked sinful generation. I want you to come on out and go to a place where you can pray, where you can praise my name, that you can be an instrument of me, that you can take anything, you can handle anything with the love of God shed abroad in your heart. So you're not running from the devil. You just don't want to be bothered with him. Good God Almighty, this is what it says. for her sins have reached into heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. God sees the sin coming up from the earth. It's coming up right now. Sin is going up before God. And every time God looks at it, it reminds him of Babylon, because Babylon has the same spirit that the United States have now, same spirit that the nations of the world are carrying out.
That's right.
Because the main thing that men are being deceived, they've been deceived, and they've been deceived through sex. Sex is one of the most notorious sins that man could use,
and he's using it for
his pleasure. But sex was made for marriage and was made to reproduce a population upon earth. It wasn't made to use for your pleasure on the outside of marriage. And the world said, I don't care no more. I don't care. I have sex with my mother. I have sex with my father. I have my relatives. I have all kind of sex. I have sex animals. I have sex group sex. I have wife swapping sex. I have homosexual sex. I have all kinds of sex. Why? Sex is a joy. Sex is a pleasure. Sex make you feel good for a period of time and seem like people just can't get enough of it. That's why Revelation 17th chapter says the woman with a cup in her hand full of abomination, filthiness is filled inside the cup. Because sin, sex can become filthy, and it's making people filthy, rotten to the core. And God says it's abomination. And guess what? Listen what it says. It says here, Lord, have mercy. It says, reward her as she rewards you. Double into her double cord to her works. In the cup, which she filled to her double. How much she has glorified herself. The world is glorifying herself. Babylon is glorifying herself. Some church folks are glorifying themselves. They come to church. They come down there looking like they come from the board of health. And the health department say, we can't handle that. Y'all too mean. You're so sharp that if I was touching you, I would cut myself. Oh, yeah. People want to dress up. They got all kind of money. They got all kind of outfits. They got all kind of lingerie. Got all kind of outlet. They tell me Playboy or use sex as money making. They use it as pleasure, and the world is living in the pleasure of sin anymore. And the Bible tells me in the 5th chapter of Isaiah, it says, hell, did you hear what I said? Hell has enlarged herself. Herself. What you talking about herself? What you talking about? You mean hell, the female place? No. Hell is a place where sex sins will be paid for, because sex is a hard thing to break away from and repenting of your sins, because people love it. And if you love something, you got to love something that God hates. God said, I hate the way you are handling sex. I have nothing against you marrying. I have nothing against you having children. I have nothing against you doing the right thing to the right person. But when you go outside of the marriage, you're sinning against me, and no sin will come into play. Listen to what it says, and I'm going to give it over to the brother. But let me tell you,
amen.
This is
you're
dynamite.
All right, doctor.
Dynamite, because let me tell you, we got a lot of lusty preachers. We got a lot of lustful sisters. We got a lot of lustful men and young men and young boys. And now the young teenagers, and even before they get teenagers, are participating in sex acts. You hear so much in the churches. You hear about people going with their own relatives. You hear about people having babies from their own relatives, and then they try to hide it. But God says, you can't hide. You might run a little bit, but you can't hide, because your secret sin is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You may get by, but you're going to get away. And you say, how much she glorified herself and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her, for she has said in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am no widow. I shall see no sorrow. The world today, Babylon, cities of the world. Babylon says, I will not have no sorrow. I'm going to enjoy this to the fullest. I'm going to enjoy this till I just get sick of it. Woo! And let me tell you, people sin it so much they get sick of it. And they're dying from it.
That's right.
You'd be surprised if one been the backside. You don't see the forefront, especially the Hollywood movie stars. After the mm-hmm. Hollywood movie stars got the church playing the harlot, you got folks fooling around in the church, dibbly dabbly. And then God says, the judgment first starts at the house of God.
Amen.
Oh my God, come on, church, come on. Come on, saints out there. The church starts behind the pulpit. It starts in the congregation. It starts from going through Bible study. Come on now.
Amen. Because you're going Amen. To Bible That's study. Right.
You got to live what the Bible tell you. Hey, man, if you just going to Bible study and ain't living what the Bible tell you, you wasting your time. Don't be a hearer of the word, but do a doer of the word.
Amen.
And so this year, 18th chapter gives you a picture, and I'm going to come back after I give it to the brother. I'm going to get it to the brother, let him work with it a little bit after I come back. But the church is going to be a place, supposed to be a place of inspiration, teaching, preaching.
Amen.
Exhorting, encouraging. That's what the church is for, to gather together. And a matter of some is, but we know that some of the church folks know. Some I ain't down in all the church folks, because we got a lot of people in there that's Christians that are living for God. I know that. God got a whole lot of people, amen, that's living for him. But I'm talking about those that's playing around, the jibber jabbering and hanky panky and yik yakking and talking all kind of trash and ain't talking the word of God. And
Amen.
The judgment starts there. And if it starts there, just imagine what it's going to be like when God brings judgment up on the world. But who are we at now? We at the close. We at the close
right.
of the church age. The last church that the Bible mentioned. And you don't find the church nowhere else in the Bible after the fourth chapter of Revelation. You don't find it nowhere except
Amen.
In the ninth. Each chapter of Revelation. 7 years after the rapture of the church will come back. Get me now. He will come,
come
back.
Come on, doctor.
With the church. And the church, the saints are going to judge the world. We're
Amen.
Going to judge the world with Christ. Good
That's
God
right.
Almighty. The brother
That's
already
right.
said it. We're going to judge the world. I'm going to be on the court scene. Amen. I'm going to see Satan be judged. I'm going to see his demons be judged. I'm going to see all my
Amen.
Enemies be judged. I'm going to see all the people that rejected Jesus Christ as Lord of heaven at the great white throne. My God, my God. And it's going to be a lot of people at the great white throne.
It sure is.
God's going to have to stretch it out into the universe. In other words, he's going to have to flee from the earth scene and the earth atmosphere and set up his throne in the middle of eternity and set up his judgment seat of the great white throne. And all the wicked dead, from Cain all the way over to the dictators, all false preachers, liars, cheats, backbiters, churchgoers, hypocrites, they are going to be stretched out, and God is going to open the books. And when he opened the books, those names is not found written in the Lamb's book
Hummers.
Of life. He said they will be, he didn't say they will walk into hell or run into hell. He said they will be cast into hell.
That's right. Amen.
So cast means the angels are going to actually pick you up and cast you into Gehenna, the lake of fire. Don't go to hell. Good God, don't go.
Lord have
mercy. Tell your mama, I don't want to go to hell, mama. Daddy, I don't want to go to hell. What can I do, Dad? What can I do, Mom? And if Mom is saved, Mom will tell you, son, repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's
and
right.
thou shalt be saved. Son,
amen. That's it.
Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died and rose from the grave for you, that you can have eternal life? The only thing you've got to do, son, is repent. I ain't worried about what you done. If you on drugs, hey, but you still got to repent whether you on drugs or not. Because you're
amen.
A sinner. And you need to tell God, I'm sorry, Lord. I'm broken up. I'm deeply broken up. I got a contrite spirit. I am so sorry. I've sinned against a holy God. Save my soul. And guess what? Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, will walk into your life. And when he walk into your life, guess what he'll do? He'll change you. He'll take all that hate out of you, all that unforgiveness in you, all that lying and cheating and backbiting and hypocrite. He'll take all that out of you, and Jesus Christ will come on in. And when he coming in, he'll bring all the love that he got for you. For he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You need to come to him right now. It's late. It's real late.
Amen.
Brother Tim, walk with it.
Amen. Amen, bro. Only got a few minutes left. Amen. But that was awesome, brother. Amen. You, man, you was on fire. Amen. You talking about moral degeneration. Amen. You talked about the prostitution, the killing, the murder in Revelation, the 18th chapter. Amen. And time is winding up. Amen. The world has enjoyed. Amen. The great whore has lived deliciously. Amen.
Woo!
The world governments. Amen. The people in the world, even the people in the church. Amen. The brother said,
yeah,
even
yeah.
The people in the church. There are so many saints. Amen. That's living good. Amen. I'm talking about those that are not. That they just, I'm not talking about those that are believe. I'm talking about those that are people who are pretending. And they're lukewarm
yes.
in the church. They're playing with God. Amen. They're living good. Amen. And you do got some saints that believe, amen, that are just, they're dealing with the flesh. Amen. But we pray to God
yes,
that they overcome
yes,
the flesh.
Yes,
amen. They are backslid. Amen. We know that that's
yes.
true. Amen. But, man, you was on fire, brother. You hit it. Amen. Amen. People, and it's funny, brother, when you spoke about sex today, I thought about that today, amen, on my break. I was thinking, I said, man is so consumed with sex. That's all you see on TV, on social, they just promoting sex, shaking this and shaking it. I like, man, you can't watch nothing now with them without
nothing
them promoting sex everywhere. And that's how they got, Satan has got man wrapped up. That is
yes,
the
sir.
Hardest thing to break, the hardest sin to break away from, amen, is sex, is just being consumed by sex and just intertwined with sex, amen. That's the toughest thing.
Yes,
amen. They were talking about how so many people, how porn is just ruling the internet, how people are just so enticed and so entangled with sex. And, man, you said it, Bruce, that they're having sex with everybody. Even animals, even men with men, women with women. Man, that is so true, brother. I thought about that, and I said, man, that ain't nothing but the Holy Spirit speaking. Amen.
Yeah,
that ain't nothing. The Holy Spirit just confirming. And amen. And you got to see this, man. This is what gets me, is how the people in the church don't see, because Satan has made things so callous. They put it in front of you so much to where they just make it the norm. Oh, that ain't nothing. Even young people, amen. And you hit on the head, man,
people.
When you said, amen, young people. I remember when I was a kid in elementary, amen, I'll never forget. These kids are having conversations, talking about how they had experience and had sex. I'm sitting there looking at these kids like, how in the world, what your parents say? Because, you know, I grew up in a religious church-believing household. Amen. My dad was very strict. Amen. I was a sheltered child. He wanted to know where you're going. Wherever you go, he got people watching. You go so far down the street, they watching. They call my dad and say, you know your son, and man, I get a whooping. Amen. Now, I remember growing up, I didn't really get to start going places until I got close to high school. You know, he would allow me more leeway to go places and more freedom. When I got in high school, I could go as I wanted. But I remember, amen, just hearing you say that, amen. I remember the sister's testimony, how she told me when she was 12 years old. 12 years old, she told me she had her first lesbian experience. This was voluntarily. This wasn't forced. This was, I was in shock. I said, really? She said, yeah. And these type of things are going on. This was back in my time. This was not something new.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
was old stuff. So you imagine if they were doing this stuff back in the 80s, the 90s, the early 2000s, you can only imagine what they're doing now. So the world,
oh,
and I heard my kids, amen, they in junior high, they in high school, and they come back and tell me about how these kids in school, how they are having,
yeah.
I'm talking about over 30, this is mind-blowing because, amen, I was grown when I had my first experience. I was grown. So this is shocking to me to hear them tell me how they got boys and girls and with over 30 individuals. I said, what in the world? Lord, how? I said, in high school? They even walked across the stage, doctor. You hear what I'm saying? So when you said that, I was just like, man, we got to be on the verge of God coming back. I just can't see the world another 50 to 100 years, not at the rate it's going. When I say they beyond speed, they going faster than the speed limit. They going faster than the speed limit, bro. I say, how can we go another 50 to 100 years at the rate we're going?
They're going to make it. No.
I just can't fathom the world to continue. See, because people are so callous. They think this is nothing what we're going through. They think this is going to just pass by. No. We believe we are here. This is it. The age of the Gentiles over. The age of Satan rule is over with. It's done. We're about
Come
to
on,
start
preacher,
a new
tell
age.
It.
Amen.
Yeah.
And this new age ain't what you think it is. We ain't finna to go back to a new age. This ain't finna to be the age of bestiality. It ain't finna to be the age of lesbianism. It ain't finna to be the age of the new age movement where all the church really do what you want. No, no, no. This is it. Satan has ruled for 6,000 years of sin and evil on this earth. And I've only been here almost 50 years. I'm tired of it. So I know if I'm tired of it. Amen. But I'm not even 50 years old. I know my Father in heaven, after 6,000 years, said, that's enough.
I know.
That
is it. Yeah, you're right, brother.
That's it. That's it, brother. I know I know God has got to be tired. This is it. Satan, your time is up. You have done what all that you have done. See, the thing is that there are things going on, like you said, in Hollywood. There's so much evil going on behind the scenes we have no knowledge of. Brother, you're right. There are unspeakable things happening behind the scenes that we cannot imagine. The brother said, all kind of stuff, man. I hear about how these women are traveling across the globe to have sex with men and animals for tens of thousands of dollars. I said, man, who do that? Where they do that at? That these folks traveling across the world to have sex with orgies and with animals and just to come back. You don't know who you messing with. Man, I told my kids, boy, I wouldn't want to be in y'all generation for nothing. I would not want to be young at this time for nothing in the world. You don't know what people are out here doing. Amen.
Lord,
I'm blessed to be with the woman that I'm with now for now almost 30 years. Amen. This year,
amen.
30 years we've been. And so I'm just saying, I'm not boasting or bragging. I'm not perfect by far, but I'm just saying, man, I remember I had a friend some time ago, bro. He was talking, this has been almost 10 years ago. He said the same thing. He said, man, I wouldn't want to be young at this damn time for nothing. I said, man, we can't hang with these young women, these young kids. We can't, man, this stuff they doing, all these women with women and all. And see, these young folks, they into that. I said, man, no, why would I want to be in the bedroom with two women? Why would I want to sit here and watch that? What they going to do for me? I said, they got y'all so fool and so desensitized that y'all think that's attractive. Y'all think that's cool. That ain't going to do nothing for me. Hey, I don't need all that extra stuff. Hey, I'm just saying, I don't need that. Somebody else may want that and desire that. But I've never desired that. Man, you ain't never wanted to be. No, and I sure ain't been in the room with a bunch of men. That's so out the question. I said, man, y'all just doing too much weird stuff. I told my nephew the other year, Son was talking. I said, boy, I said, y'all doing too much stuff. Y'all doing too much.
That's right.
It's sad
that's
that
right.
Young people think that that's normal. They think it's normal for guys to gang up in the room. I said, boy, that ain't normal. I said, y'all, it's crazy. I said, first of all, I ain't finna be in the room with no other man. That's out the question. I said, playing sports.
Amen. I know that's right.
Playing sports and being in the locker room was enough for me. Because as soon as I got through with my shower, I left. I wasn't talking no more. I said, this is
amen,
too much. And y'all think it's too normal for y'all just too comfortable with the world and the things that's going on in the world. Y'all just too comfortable. Next thing you know, y'all be out here doing animals. And I'm just saying, it's just too much. Y'all doing, it's just too nasty. Some of the stuff I hear.
Too nasty, man.
Doing, brother, you better know this. I'm hearing now, they telling me now that it's normal for a woman to be with two gay men. I said, Lord. I said, boy, I wouldn't want to be in this morning, this time for nothing. I said, I think I came along at the right time. And like my friend said a long time ago, we are the last of a dying breed.
Amen.
So like you said, a last generation, doctor, that's it. We are the last generation on this earth. And we are telling you right now, and I'm going to get ready to close out, but I got to talk about salvation. I got to bring you to the cross. Amen. I got to bring you to the cross before I go. Amen. Because you want to know what? We don't want nobody lost. I say, I know we teach a fire and brimstone message. This is something that you don't hear no more. This type of message that my dad said he used to teach back in the early 1900s, the 1930s and 40s when he was young. Amen. I know Elder Bazaar know what I'm talking about. Amen. But this type of message that you
don't
hear. I know you know, doctor. Amen. Hey, you know, you don't hear these types of messages no more where they talk about, hey, if you don't get right, if you don't give your soul to God, we ain't trying to scare nobody. No, we telling you the consequences of what's going to happen. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what pastors in the church are supposed to be teaching. If they were
come on,
teaching preacher. That, we believe that more people will be saved if they stood up in church and preached the rightly divided word and preached the truth and stop being scared and stop trying to be concerned who they're going to run off and keep. Amen. I remember a pastor told me something crazy a long time ago. Oh, well, you know, you could preach that, but ain't nobody. Man, I'm not preaching to be popular. That's not what I'm preaching for. I'm preaching for the salvation of men's souls who want to be saved. Amen. Like my dad used to say, the word is going to either draw you or it's going to drive you.
Right.
We're not trying to be friends with nobody. We ain't out here trying to get somebody to send us $1,000 check and a $2,000 check. Man, you know what? If you want to bless me, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. My blessings is coming. Amen. My blessings are already
waiting.
My rewards is already waiting on Tim Jackson. Ooh, when I get to heaven. Amen. The greatest reward, you hear me? The greatest reward I've already received is called eternal life because my Lord and Savior, Yahshua, amen, Jesus, amen, already died on the cross 2,000 years ago for my sins. And my sins have been what? Washed in the blood of the Lamb, amen. And my record has already been expunged. It's already been covered up. It ain't none of your business, amen, what had happened in the past, because you know what he going to say? That's why the Bible says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, ain't no need to bring up what you done did. Your sins is already covered, amen, because I died for them. Amen. What's important is that you get salvation and that you receive eternal life, so therefore you go and share this good news with somebody else, amen. That's what's most important because the world has fared sumptuously like the rich man. They have lived deliciously, amen. They have drunk of this cup, amen, and they have given so much what? Torment and sorrow, amen, to the world. But you know what? Now it is their time to receive what? Torment and sorrow,
yes,
the great tribulation, in hell, and ultimately in the lake of fire if they don't repent.
Lord,
amen. Ooh. Amen. Dr. Ooh. Lord, have mercy. Amen. We are praying for your soul tonight. We're praying for the lost souls of this world. It's so many people every single day. We're on the air 3 days out of the week. And do you know how many souls have been lost every week that we are on the air?
Lord, I can't count them.
Can't count them.
Can't count them.
The hell shall what? Enlarge yourself. Amen. Enlarge yourself.
Yes.
Amen. I'm going to read this. Amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is the plan of salvation. You say, man, how can I escape this? I'm hearing reports of people getting saved. I'm loving it. Amen. I know the watchman on the wall, Elder Bazaar, is loving it. We love the fact that people are coming to Christ in droves. Amen. And you know what? There used to be my football coach used to joke about this. He said, if you're scared, join church. Amen. Amen. So if you're scared, join Christ. Amen. I'm all for it. It's all right. Amen. Because he's going to protect you from the things to come. Amen. He's going to protect you from the second death. Amen. So I want to read Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 9 and 10. Amen. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Amen. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to share a little bit more with you, and I'm going to be out your way. Amen. Romans, the third chapter. Amen. Romans, the third chapter. Amen. Watch this. Amen. This is verse 21, Romans, the third chapter. It says, but now the righteousness of God, Yahweh, without the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God is by what? It's by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. Ooh. I'm no better than anybody else on the face of this planet. Amen. I have just simply believed. Amen. Salvation is the easiest thing in the world for you to become saved. Hey, you know what? The Holy Spirit is going to work with you. I've had people say, brother, man, God wouldn't accept me. Man, I said, brother, that's not true. It don't matter if you're a drunkard. It don't matter if you're a thief. It don't matter if you're a murderer. God accepts everybody. As long as you have breath in your body, you have the opportunity to change and to be saved. It don't matter what you do. Even if you say you sold your soul to the devil, you are redeemable. Satan does not have that power to keep your soul while you are alive. Amen.
Yes,
if you have to, if you simply confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. Amen. We want you to be saved tonight. There's only one way to salvation. That's through the cross. That's through confession.
Woo,
that's through believing. And once you do that, your sins have been what? Washed in the blood of the Lamb, amen. And your sins have been expunged from your record, amen. You don't have to worry about it, amen. It's like this has never happened, amen. But that's only by the blood, amen, of the Lamb. And then after that, you get to live in heaven with the Heavenly Father for all eternity, with all the saints, all the angels, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Who don't want that love, joy, and peace for all eternity to serve him and to worship him? I tell you right now, that's a much better deal than burning in the lake of fire for all eternity. Amen. You do what you want with. Amen. Amen. But that's just the truth. Amen. So, family, amen. I'll be back on the air Saturday. Amen. With the Watchman on the Wall up this upcoming weekend and Saturday and Sunday. Amen. But, amen, I'm about to get ready to go. But amen. All glory be to the Most High God. We are all royalty. Remember, we don't want nobody to be lost. Come to Christ tonight. Amen.
Come
you don't
Christ.
Have to wait till the churches is open back up. In fact, most churches are not even going to open back up. A lot of churches have shut down. Amen. A lot of churches are shrunk. The church age is just about over with. Amen. This
it's
is
it,
the
brother.
New way. Amen. Amen. This is church.
This is
ministry. It has the Bible says that knowledge shall be what? Increased.
Increase.
This is the way that the knowledge is spreading. It's spreading over the airways, it's spreading over the TV, the tubes, the YouTubes, the social media. people on TikToking and Instagram and whatever you can think of. People on social media preaching now. There's a lot of pastors now that just been, they just said, we just might as well just do ministry online. And that's fine. Any way that we can get people to Christ, that we don't have time to wait for people to drive down to the church and come in and get dressed up and preach a full sermon, then open the door to church. You know what? You can listen to the sermon right now in the convenience of your own bedroom. If you laying in your bed to work, amen, doctor, you can get saved now. Because why? The time, the hour is up and the time is near. Christ is soon to return to this earth to get those that love him. And trust me, man, Christ and God and the Holy Spirit can't wait. The angels of heaven, they can't wait to see us. They welcome us with open arms. They love us. He can't wait to hold you in his arm. I can't wait to go to heaven and to be there with him for all eternity. Brother, I love you. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Bro.
You have amen, doctor. Amen. You have
amen.
A wonderful night. I'll be listening for a little bit. Amen. Y'all have a good night and take care. God bless.
All right. God bless. Amen. Amen. We thank the Lord for that word of encouragement. We thank the Lord for that opportunity to come to Christ, and only one way to come. Amen. And that's through Christ himself, the Son of God. God himself became man. Ooh, that's a deep. That's deep. That's deep. That's deep. A shovel can't reach the end of that. Amen. His love, that he has love for your soul. He loves your soul, your very being, your life. The part of your life is in your soul and in your spirit. And God wants that soul. He wants to take his blood and wash you and get rid of all that murder and hatred and racial and all that stuff that the devil has brought up on the earth ever since the beginning of time. And he knows he ain't got nothing but a short time. Amen. Amen. You know, I had a little story one time. Little old pretty dog, white dog, had a long tail. Long tail. That sucker was so long. Amen. And he was showing it off. She was showing it off. So one day she was just crossing the railroad track. And she loved to cross the railroad track. And there was a bunch of hound dogs and some wild dogs looking at her. Hey, girl, you're looking good with that long tail. And she was just prancing, prancing, prancing until one day, man, a train came. When the train came, she's going to see how long it take her to get across the track. And as the train came, amen, it had a whole lot of speed on it. She didn't know it. And she jumped across the railroad track, amen, and just as she jumped across the railroad track, she got right on the edge of the other side. And guess what? That train took that tail and ripped it right off. Amen. And when she got on the other side, them dogs started laughing. Woo, man, look at you now. And they said, it won't be long now. And guess what? A lot of people laughing. A lot of people joking. A lot of people ain't paying no attention to the word of God. A lot of people ain't paying no attention to the cross. A lot of people ain't paying no attention to the word of God. A lot of people ain't paying to the signs of the times and the end time prophecy. But let me tell you, there's a day, woo, when the rapture occur, it's going to snatch the church out of here, and many people will be left on this planet that don't know Christ. And I'm going to tell you that right now, it ain't going to be long. It ain't going to be long. But thank God. Thank God for his mercy. God said, I'm not going to let them people not hear the word of God. You know what he's going to do? God, after he raptures the church, there won't be no witnesses here on the planet. No witnesses. Until God says in the 7th chapter of Revelation, he looked and seen 4 angels stands on the 4 corners of the earth, and he's getting ready to bring judgment. And one of the angels said, don't do no harm right now. Don't do nothing until I seal 144,000. Who? The 12 tribe of Israel. And the 12 tribe of Israel, he even mentioned it in the book of Revelation. The 12 tribe of Israel in the 7th chapter, talking about the 3rd verse, it says, say, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the sea, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard a number of them All right, then what it got to say? That was sealed, and they were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. 12 tribes will be sealed by what? The Holy Spirit. They will have a mark of brand that they belong to God Almighty. After the church is gone, they will be the only witnesses upon the planet of the earth that will preach the gospel. And just to put the brother said, there ain't going to be no more church, big church services. The next big church service is going to be 144,000. 144,000 will be preaching what? The gospel of what? The kingdom. And what is that? The gospel of the kingdom is that the Jews are going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and he's definitely automatically, uniquely, exactly coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. That's going to be the message. And they're going to say that he died and rose again, and he's coming back again to set up the millennial kingdom. And the world, you hear what I said? I said the world from the east to the west, to the north, to the south, from four corners of the earth is going to preach around the world. That's where the utopia of the automation of technology will come in. It will be YouTube, television, ITT. It will be every program and every high sophisticated state-of-the-art technology to get the gospel to preach around the world. And preachers will see, the people will see exactly what's going on in the seventh chapter of Revelation. And the seventh chapter said, Revelation, oh, God have mercy. He said, I will seal 144,000. And he said, 144,000 will be the 12 tribe of Israel. And he said, now when I seal them, I'm going to seal them. And when I seal them, I heard the number of them that was sealed with 144,000 of all the tribe of Israel. And he said, all right, it's time for roll call. Roll call out of the tribe of Judah, there will be 12,000. Out of the tribe of Reuben, there will be 12,000. Out of the tribe of Gad, there will be 12,000. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, good God Almighty, 12 times 12 equals 144,000 Jews that will prophesy and evangelize the world. And the world will hear it. For the first time in Jewish history, the Jews will preach the gospel that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he's coming back to get it. He's coming back to judge the world, and he's coming back to set up his millennial kingdom. And they tell me in the first part of the 3.5 years, they tell me there's going to be a great revival. Wow, good God Almighty, from around the world. In other words, every continent will hear the gospel of the kingdom. In Brazil, they will hear the gospel. In the United States, they will hear the gospel. In Africa, they will hear the gospel. In South America, they will hear the gospel. In Russia, they will hear the gospel. In China, they will hear the gospel. In India, they will hear the gospel of the Jews preaching that Jesus Christ is Messiah, that he's coming back to judge the world and to set up the millennial kingdom. And when they get through preaching, good God Almighty, for the 3.5 years, and the 3.5 years will be what? It'll be 360 days. It will be 52 weeks. It will be 1,260 days. They will actually prophesy and evangelize the world. Listen to what it says in the 9th verse. After they get through preaching for the 3.5 years, John said in the 9th verse of the 7th chapter of Revelation, not Jehovah's Witness, not the Baptist, not the Presbyterian, not the Catholic, it will be the Jews that will what? caused this worldwide revival. And this worldwide revival is spoken of in the ninth verse. He said, after this, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindred and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand, and cried. They cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around and about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, amen. The glory and the wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might to him our God forever and ever. And one good God Almighty, and one of the elders said unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And which came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. You know where these people come from. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, have washed their robe. Good God Almighty, they have washed their robe. And this don't mean a little robe. This means the robe of their soul, the robe of the spirit, has made them white. You talking about white, white in the blood of the Lamb. And before they, the throne, and God served them day and night in his temple, and he sitteth on the throne, shall dwell among them. Good God Almighty, he said, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither the sun shall light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into the living fountains of waters. And God, good God Almighty, shall wipe away all their tears. What is this? What does these 144,000 do? But they preached the gospel. They didn't preach nothing but the gospel. They didn't have no debate talk. They didn't have no energy talk. They didn't try to tell people to do a certain thing. They just preached Christ. And out of that preaching for 3.5 years, unstoppable, 24/7, they preach until the Gentile nations and some of the people out of the Jewish nation accepted Jesus Christ. When they accept Jesus Christ, they are ready to go to heaven. But before they go to heaven, they've got to go through the final test, the great tribulation period. The great tribulation period happens in the last 3.5 years. And that's when the mark of the beast, that's when the guillotine will come. That's when the FEMA camps will open. That's when the church lawns will become a place of execution. They will set up the guillotines in the United States of America. Y'all ain't listen to me. America is going to introduce, for the first time ever in American history, they're going to introduce the guillotines will be set up in cities and towns and on the countryside. Train cars will be filled with prisoners going to the FEMA camps, which will be converted from Walmart. They're going to make them out of prison camp, and they're going to ship them by train cars. And the mark of the beast will be on the prowl. And he will cause all those rich and poor, bond and free, poor and rich, to receive a mark, not the corona vaccination, not no other but the mark of the beast. And the mark of the beast says you must receive a computer chip on your forehead or in your right hand. Because when you receive this computer chip, it will give you authorization to buy and sell. If those refuse to receive the mark, they will not be able to buy and sell, and they will be executed. Executed. They will be beheaded by the government And who will be head of the government? The Antichrist. Because America is going to unite with NATO. They're going to reunite with the world government, the one world church. They're going to unite together as one kingdom, the kingdom of Babylon. And men, women, boys, and girls, in order for them to buy and sell, they must receive this mark on their right hand or on their forehead. This is after the rapture of the church. The church will be in heaven for 7 years, and at the end of the seven-year tribulation, the church will come back with Jesus Christ to the earth. In the last part of the tribulation period, after the 144,000 will be redeemed from the earth, and the tribulation saints will go through the great tribulation. After the 144,000 are gone, then God said, I'm going to send two messengers. I'm going to send two anointed ones. I'm going to send two men from the Old Testament realm, which will be Moses and Elijah. And Moses and Elijah are the only two prophets that did not finish their ministry in the Old Testament. These are the only two prophets, amen, that had power enough to shut up heaven, that it would not rain for 3.5 years, and had power enough to turn water to blood. And these prophets will use this power to wake up the world, but the world will not receive them. They will be preaching. For how long? 3.5 years. The last part, the last 3.5 years, the last 3.5 years will be preached by the two prophets. And these two prophets, Moses and Elijah. And they will preach out of the streets and from the streets of Jerusalem. And at the end of the ministry, which will be probably about, end would be 2029. That will give you exactly 7 years from 2022 to 2029. Because 2022 is the final year for the last biblical prophecy to be fulfilled during this time. And that is, the first thing will be fulfilled is the rapture of the church, then the Antichrist, and then the attack of Gog and Magog up on Israel. And after the attack of Israel, then judgment will fall upon the planet. So where we at? We in the last year. No man knows what hour or what day, but the Bible didn't say nothing about what season. And the season for the rapture to occur is fall. The month of September and October is the month of the appointed feast days. Appointed feast days are on time. These feast days, four of them have been fulfilled. Three of them is yet to be fulfilled. The first four that have been fulfilled is Passover, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The unleavened bread, a new walk. We got first fruits, the resurrection. We got day of Pentecost, the day of the birth of the church, or the conception of the church. That's when the church was conceived, in the womb of the gospel. Ooh, hallelujah, in the womb of the gospel. And the church has been here in the womb for 2,000 years. We're living in the last church age, Laodicea. This is the age in which the rapture will occur and glorious church will be raptured up out of the womb of the gospel and meet the Lord in the air. And after we meet the Lord in the air, then the Jewish nation will be grafted back in to the olive tree to make a full complete of 490 years that God said, I will deal with the Jews. He dealt with the Jews from 440 BC until 483 A.D. They were cut off at the cross, and the Gentiles were grafted in. The Gentiles have been grafted in for 2,000 years. Now they're getting ready to be cut off, and the Jews are going to bring the gospel for the last 7 years through Moses and Elijah and 144,000, and it's going to be harvest time or gleaning time for men to get saved after the rapture of the church. That's how it's going to happen. We are living just at the crack of dawn where the church is getting ready to be removed. For all that is going on in the world today is unbelievable. The sins that man are doing against a holy, righteous, loving God. Men gone crazy. Young folks losing their mind. Church folks slothful and unconcerned and lollygagging and fooling around. Church folks, not the Christians. If you're a Christian, you got to have some kind of aware of what's going on. If you don't, you better find out and start reading your Bible and start praying that you can escape what's coming on the planet. Russia will invade Israel. Russia will invade Israel. But first, she's got to conquer some satellite nations that she had back there in 91. And Putin is doing it because Putin is the red horse. He's riding the red horse. Oh, no, he's not. You don't see him in the sky, no. The red horse symbolizes war. And the first war or the third world war will be started by Russia because Russia got a plan that the Bible says an evil thought shall come across their mind. And they're going to say, let us go down to the land of Israel and invade it. And they're going to bring a whole horde of armies like a cloud that spread it across the land. And when they come down on the mountains of Israel, there won't be no nation, no monarch, no empire will be able to stop Russia from coming down trying to overthrow and take control of Israel. But there's a God in heaven that said in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, he said, I am going to sanctify myself. I'm going to sanctify myself and let the world know I'm apart from all evil. I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to shake the earth. I'm going to shake it so terribly until the men on the planet, the wicked on the planet, will recognize that I am God. And beside me, there is nobody else. And it's going to cause a great stench in the land. Thousands of men will lay on the battlefield with blood. Men will be slain. Men, flesh will rot off their bones. God is going to show his wrath. And his wrath is yet to come. Don't fall into the hands of an angry God. Be found in Christ. If you be found in Christ, Jesus Christ, you don't have nothing to worry about. You ain't got nothing to worry about because God loves his own. Because everybody is not a child of God. Huh. Everybody is not a child of God. In order for you to be a child of God, you must be born again. You must be born again. You cannot be a church member, just a go to church person. Or be a religious person and call yourself a child of God. The only way you can become a child of God is through the shed blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You need to know him tonight. You need to know him in a pardon of your sins. Because, my friends, let me tell you something. You don't want to go. You don't want to go to hell. I tell you, I don't have to go to hell to come back and tell you there's a hell. I know there's a hell. I read it in the Bible. I believe God's word to the T, to the dot, to the comma, to the semicolon, to the question mark. I believe every word in this book. And God says there's a place where the wicked shall cease from troubling and the weary shall be at rest. There's a place where mankind and those who reject the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ will have to pay for their own sin. If you die without Christ, without repenting, without believing and receiving the Holy Ghost, and if you receive the Holy Ghost by faith through Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sin, the Bible said, thou shalt be saved, period. Your soul be saved. And if Christ will come the minute you get saved, after you get saved and the rapture of the church occur, you're gone. Because your soul ain't got time enough to do no works. And your works, even if you had time, is not going to save you. It's going to take the blood of Christ to save you. And whatever you do through Christ is the only thing he's going to count. So if you ain't saved, you can't do nothing for Christ. The only thing you can do, amen, is to repent and receive the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost be your comforter and your guide and lead you into all truth. Now you're a child of God. You're going to have to go under no certain name. I'm just going to tell you what I'm named. I'm a Christian. I have a Christ-like spirit. I love everybody. I love everybody. That's a Christ-like spirit. I love everybody. I don't care who you are. I love you. I love you so much that I will tell you the exact truth. And the exact truth is, please, please, know Jesus Christ before you leave this planet. Please know Jesus Christ. If you don't know nobody else, you don't have to know nobody else. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then he saved your soul forever. Eternal redemption. Sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. He saved you to the uttermost. Uttermost. Uttermost means eternity. Forever. The only thing you got to do is humble yourself. Go look in the mirror and look at yourself and say, Lord, I'm pitiful. I'm so pitiful and I'm tired of being pitiful. I want to have a purpose in life. And my purpose in life is to know you if I don't know nothing else. You need to know him tonight. You need to know him. And if you know him tonight, you can go to bed assured that if the trumpets would blow, you will know what it is. And you will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But we know that the rapture is going to happen in harvest time, or reaping time, in the fall. Because there's three more appointed times yet to be fulfilled. Three more yet to be fulfilled. And those three yet to be fulfilled is Feast of Trumpets, Feast of Yom Kippur, and Feast of Tabernacle. Feast of Trumpets is the rapture. Feast of Yom Kippur is the return of Jesus Christ after the tribulation period is over with the church. The Feast of Tabernacle is the beginning of the millennium reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, that will rule with a rod of iron. Sin will be dissipated. The only sin that man will deal with during the millennium reign is the sin of unbelief. Jesus Christ will rule the world with a rod of iron. In other words, tough love will be applied to the millennium reign. In other words, you ain't going to be able to do it. If you do something real awful, you are going to be executed or judged right away. Christ will be the king. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.